listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The completely redesigned ClevelandBrowns.com is coming today. Please brace yourself for that. Absolutely. We're excited about it as well. Nice new look for the Cleveland Browns website that I think you'll find enjoyable. All the videos, all our content from CBD will be on there as well. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Fort. That was a lot of fun talking with the Miz.
It's great.
I enjoyed that immensely.
Guy's hysterical, and he loves the Cleveland Browns, so he knows about the team. He studies up, he follows, he's not kidding, he reads everything, he listens to our show pretty much every single day whenever he can, has podcasts, because he does a lot of driving on the road. You know, they go town to town to town to town.
Right.
So CBD helps him pass the time, and big Browns fan. So hopefully we can get a nice Thursday night game again and get him out here.
All right, let's do a little after further review.
After further review.
Jason Gibbs, our producer. What do you got, Jason?
Good afternoon, guys. Question number one, where would you rank Derek Carr on your list of rookie quarterbacks?
I would have him comfortably at number two. I have Blake Bortles number one. I have Derek Carr number two. And I've got multiple people at three. I'm going to put, for now, Teddy Bridgewater slightly ahead of Johnny Manziel in that third slot, but not by much.
I'm going to put him in a tie for fourth with Aaron Murray of Georgia, who is one of my favorites, and maybe even move him up higher, but I would go Bridgewater, Bortles, Manziel, Carr, Murray.
After further review.
Question number two, would you be willing to trade up to get Derek Carr if you knew he wouldn't be there at 26?
Would I be willing to trade up? Yes, I'd be willing to try to – look, I'd go into this draft trying to make a deal that if he was the guy I'm targeting, to position myself where I believe he would be, and it's conceivable that 26 is too low. And, of course, we could argue that 4 is too high for Derek Carr or any of the quarterbacks, and that would include Bortles as well. But somewhere in between might be a landing spot, and I would hope that this team – and I'm pretty confident this team would be open to making that maneuver and would do its homework and figure out how it could get to the right spot to get him if indeed he's the guy they want.
I don't know if I would. It just depends. I'd only do that if I traded out of four first and picked up the extra ammo so I wasn't costing myself picks to go up and get Derek Carr.
Oh, I meant in a positive direction of trading where you're gaining, not trading and losing. You could trade down from four, say.
Right.
He says trade up from 26.
I think it means like you made your pick at four and then you wanted to go up and then get Derek Carr. Like, say you took Watkins.
Maybe use assets below 26 to do
perhaps.
That.
Perhaps. I don't know. There are other people that I like. I'm not totally sold. I do think, though, that he is certainly worth a look if he gets there at 26.
After further review.
Question number three. Nathan wasn't here last week. Some rule changes coming down from the NFL. What's the one rule change that has been made over the last 10 days that you disagree with?
Any rule change that you didn't like?
No, I like the higher goalposts. I think that's a good one. I like the centralized replay option. That's a good one. Did I miss it? Was there any other major ones?
Slam dunking? A little celebration?
Oh, yeah. Slam dunking. Give me a break.
You didn't like that.
Well, listen, I understand they're saying it's because when Jimmy Graham did the slam dunk, it caused a 20-minute delay, et cetera, et cetera. I don't like anything that takes away fun from the National Football League. I want a little bit of fun in the NFL. I think if you're putting, first of all, every time you go out there, and we know now that the way these contracts work, just take a look, for example, DeSean Jackson, a couple years ago, signed a 5-year, $50 million deal, got $18 million. I know, cry me a river for a guy who got $18 million, but the numbers aren't guaranteed. You're risking your life every time out there, and if you do happen to score a touchdown, which is the ultimate goal of an offense, I don't mind a little celebration. I don't mind a little blend of the WWE with the NFL. Let's go.
Can't you slam dunk without hanging on to the goalpost?
So you're saying you got to do like the George Gervin finger roll?
Well, I mean, you don't even have to. I mean, go over it, but you don't hang on to it. I think it was the hanging on to it that Jimmy Graham did.
He just did it with too much authority.
And your relative size for the whole thing. Look. If it delays the game, if even if it's spontaneous celebration, you could theoretically, you could be hurting your team, too, because you got some momentum going. Now they're stopping the game to freaking work with the goalpost or, you know, the crossbar.
My point is bigger. It's more of like, for example, I remember, do you remember when, I believe it was, who signed, was it T.O. that signed the ball? Where he had a Sharpie and then he pulled out, signed it, and gave it to somebody and got penalized for that.
Sharpie.
Joe Horn had like a cell phone that he pulled out of the goalpost to call somebody. I like that. I don't care about that at all.
Then it became an issue of props.
Who cares? That, you scored a touchdown. You have a few seconds. You got to get the extra point unit out there anyway. Get a little celebration.
I think,
like to see some dances.
I think the in,
woo!
I think the in-your-face element of it all is what also the league is feeling isn't the direction it wants to go.
You hear
Jeff Fisher talk. I'm just saying that he spent a lot of time talking about that.
No, totally. They don't want to talk to each other.
Because it maybe precipitates an unintended thing. In other words, you go from fun to maybe not so fun when it turns into something else.
This is a violent, dangerous game.
Yeah.
If you want to pretend that it's anything less, I got beachfront property to sell you.
Right. You can have all that violence and danger without necessarily putting it in someone's face.
You can
putting
have a little
a
fun.
Celebration in.
I don't mind.
The only thing I'm bothered by.
Who cares?
Okay, you know what I don't like? I'm not against celebrating, but I don't like the person who celebrates a first down, say, when the score doesn't say, dude, easy. First of all, the drive isn't over. You're down by 10 or three touchdowns or whatever, and you're still. And I've seen this, and you've seen it. Or celebrating a sack, you know, folding the arms. Okay, but you're not. Your team might be losing at the time. Be appropriate with your timing of the celebration. Because if I'm the opponent, I'm saying that scoreboard says we're way ahead. What in God's name are you celebrating?
That's all you need.
That you got 10 yards? Wow.
What you're talking
great.
About is what I want to call Roy Williams syndrome. You remember Roy Williams, the wide receiver that the Dallas Cowboys traded multiple first-round picks to get, and he stunk?
I do.
That's what he would do. He would do the big first-down gesture when he's down 20 in the fourth quarter.
I don't like when anybody
the guy's a buffoon. I agree. But you know what? If you want to be a buffoon like that, we'll all laugh at you and say, ha-ha, you're a buffoon. The other team's going to say, look at the scoreboard, and ha-ha, you're an idiot. But I like a little showmanship.
I like it. Question number four today, guys. Michael Vick or Mark Sanchez? Who resurrects their career with their new respective teams?
It ain't even a question. Michael Vick.
Easy.
No doubt about it. Mark Sanchez is not good. And his hairband is an egregious offense.
The only thing about, I'll say this. Vick, they both had issues maybe with some fragility. Sanchez, of course, put into a silly situation where he was playing extra time in a preseason game and then ended up messing up his shoulder. So we'll see what his status is physically. Vic breaks. Vic's not going to make it through the year. So Vic will probably play however number of games he plays enough to have more impact, but he too will be hurt, unfortunately, for him.
Let me say this, because Mike Vick played at a decent level last year with Philadelphia before he got hurt. I expect him to come in and play at a good level with the New York Jets again until he gets hurt. I guess the question is, really, when I rethink about the semantics that were used, who can resurrect their career? Mike Vick, I think, is what we expect Mike Vick to be, a competent starting quarterback who is going to make some good plays but get hurt ultimately and not be able to play 16 games.
Right.
Mark Sanchez at this point is not viewed as a competent starting quarterback. Were Nick Foles to get injured and Sanchez to take over in Philadelphia, I think he would have the chance to change that perception given the intelligence of the offense around him, the skill position players he will have to work with, etc. So he has the best chance to resurrect his career, but Mike Vick, while both are healthy, will be a bigger impact player. So that's some clarification on my after
Nicely
further
done.
Review. Yes, nice. Indeed. All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up. You got any phone calls? Now's the time to get them in. 216-578-0850. DeSean Jackson rumors. Derek Carr, the quarterbacks. What do you think about showmanship? Do you like a little showmanship, or do you like boring? You want to watch football become boring? I don't want it to become boring.
I don't want buffoonery. I don't want guys making idiots of themselves when they do that celebrating at the wrong time. Timing with showmanship works.
There was a guy that used to play for the Oakland A's when I was a young man, and we had season tickets on those World Series teams, named Dave Henderson. And Dave Henderson, every fly ball he caught, he had this little fancy way of catching. When he hit a home run, he trotted around, flaps down. And if he was on the other team, you hated him. But on your team, it was great.
Right, but that's,
I loved
first
it.
First of all, that's baseball.
I loved it.
Trying to make that interesting when you're playing 1,000 games and you got to do something. I mean, you got to force the issue. That's what he was doing. It's baseball.
Unbelievable.
I mean, you know, he'd do that. He could do that 50. He'd have 50 opportunities minimum to do that, or maybe more.
I think my buddy the Kid is listening. The Kid, call up right now. Let's talk showmanship. All right, we'll be back with more CBD.